Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. Headline today, U.S. prods Israel to lift travel ban so terrorist leaders can attend Arab summit. Now, what do you think about that? U.S., this is the headline. This is the headline in the Rocky Mountain News, March 25th, 2002. U.S. prods Israel to lift travel ban so terrorist leaders... Oh, wait a minute. I'm not reading that right. I'm sorry. It says, so Palestinian leaders. Well, same thing. Let me read it my way. It's a bit more accurate. U.S. prods Israel to lift travel ban so terrorist leaders can attend Arab summit. Now, why is that? Why would our government, in the midst of a war against terrorism, why would it urge Israel to allow terrorist leaders to travel to an Arab summit? Now, does that make any sense to you? If you understand that, please give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right, now, I've got a question. There's a quote. A family has lost a member in a murder, and the suspect is in jail in Gibson County, Indiana. All right, he's in the Gibson County Jail, and his name is Ronald Waterhouse. And he murdered a guy named Anthony Quintana. That name, I know that name, Quintana. Of course, there's a zillion Quintanas. But where do I know that name from? Oh, yeah, Mrs. Quintana. I remember that. Same spelling. There's only one way to spell Quintana, right? Mrs. Quintana died in a Denver courtroom 10 years ago. I recall the news story now. That's where I know the name from. Because she had received a blood transfusion, and she acquired AIDS from the blood transfusion, and she was dying of AIDS-related problems, and actually she had a fungus growing in her throat that her immune system was unable to attack or overcome. And she actually died in the courtroom when the jury was trying to decide its decision because she was suing the blood company. And in the trial, the testimony was introduced from the homosexual who donated blood, and his blood went to Mrs. Quintana. And he was asked if he had been, he was a homosexual, and he asked if he had been sexually immoral. And he said no because he had less than 100 different partners. How's that? Now, do we have this mic working? I'm getting instant messages that the mic is not working. How's that for a problem? Okay. All right, maybe somebody could instant message me and let me know if the mic is working. All right? And since we get so many instant messages, we could get instant technical feedback. And I do believe we're having difficulties, technical difficulties. But we'll get through them. We will get through them. So, but actually, that was a rabbit trail because this story is about Anthony Quintana, who was murdered by a guy right now who's sitting in the Gibson County Jail in Indiana. And I have a question. Now, if he's guilty, he should be executed swiftly, as the Bible says. We're getting suggestions like try changing mic cords. This is, it's on KGov Live, so we're on KGov Live, but we're not on the radio. Is that right? I'm getting so many instant messages, not working right now, serious mic buzz. Hey, this is pretty good. How many, something's happening now. How many engineers we got working on this problem in real time? I remember back when we were on radio in Justin, Denver, before we ever went national. We were on KQXI radio. And the quadrant of downtown Denver, South Denver, that the radio station was in, KQXI, we used to transmit from high atop the KQXI towers. And the phone system went out. The phone system went out like a central switch went out, and there were thousands of customers without phone service. And it happened just 20 minutes before I went on the air, and I had a call-in talk show. So that was quite a problem. What do we do? Well, we can't take calls, except for the fact that one of the engineers with the Quest cell phone company, he was a fan of the show. And as soon as that central office switch went down, he immediately figured out we'd have a problem. So he came to our studio and he plugged in a mobile cell phone switch. And he forwarded our numbers, and we literally went on the air live taking people's calls, even though our phones were down, over this temporary cell phone, this modular cell phone switch. It was just unbelievable. And this guy was an engineer, and he did that for a living. And that was one of the tools of his trade. It was real easy for him to hook that thing up. So we were pretty impressed with that. So now, I don't know what kind of engineers are going to be here before the first commercial break, but we'll see and we'll let you know. Okay. Now back to the problem. All right. And we've got a message here. It's getting better. I'm listening on IRN. All right. It's on KGov Live. All right. That's good. That's good. Okay. It's okay now. Hey, we're getting good response here from the audience from all over the country. Here's a guy, Bob. I have read the plot, your manuscript on the overview of the Bible, and I have questions about miracles, but I don't know if you want to discuss that on the show. If so, let me know. If not, I would like to converse with you by email. Thanks, Ben. Ben, let me tell you this. Conversing by email, I pretty much don't have the time for that, and we try not to use the Bob and Yurt Live for discussion about doctrinal debates that divide Christians. We talk about things that Christians would disagree with the world about, like evolution, homosexuality, abortion, overpopulation, socialism, the Democrats and the Republicans, things like that. And we also talk about things that Christians would get upset about, like judging or forgiving or mocking or sarcasm, but not doctrinal issues that typically divide Christians from fellowshipping one another. We usually don't do that. But Ben, since you read through the plot and you've instant messaged me, after the show, if you'd like to, we could talk after the show. So give us a call.
Hello, my name is Jason Troyer, and I do volunteer work here at Bob and Yurt Live, including the commercials you hear every night. I moved to Colorado from Indiana almost 3 years ago to help Bob and his ministry because they changed my life. I'd like to invite you to benefit from this ministry as well. Easter is just around the corner, and despite what you may have heard, Easter is not about cute fuzzy bunnies or colored eggs. Easter is the day our Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead, just as he said he would. On Easter Sunday, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, will not only talk about the resurrection, he will also present the evidence for the resurrection. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and rising again the third day is not a myth or a fable, it's a fact. If you live in the Denver area, whether you're a Christian or just have questions, we want to invite you and your family to join us March 31st at 10:50 for this special sermon. You'll also have the opportunity to not only meet Bob, but also Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob Friday nights, Tony Funderburk, who sings the opening theme to Bob and Yurt Live, and even little old me. For directions to the church, call us at 303-463-1707 or go on the web to denverbiblechurch.org and look at our map. For those who don't live in Colorado or can't make it, we'll also make audio cassettes of the Easter sermon as we do with all sermons, so you won't miss out on this great evangelistic tool. For those of you who have never ordered from Bob Enyart Live, we'll even make this tape available free of charge. Call today to reserve your copy, 1-888-836-9278.
We are back, Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I'm going to give a special phone number to this Ben who called in about the question about miracles. We don't talk about doctrinal issues on the show all that much. We talk about things like the death penalty and issues that Christians are passionate about, usually issues that Christians disagree with unbelievers about, but not things that Christians divide between one another over. We tend to avoid that, and we do that through our monthly Bible study tapes and the manuscript, The Plot, where our ministry is based on understanding the Bible. To the best of our ability, understand the Bible and use that information to evangelize the world and to disciple Christians. You can't do everything. You know, some ministries focus on the cults, and they go after the cults, and other ministries go after more extreme Christian denominations, and some ministries focus exclusively on evolution. And we tend to hit the moral, social controversies of the day, the political issues. Now, here's this family of this guy who was murdered, Anthony Quintana. The murderer is sitting in jail in Indiana, in Gibson County Jail. And the murderer, the man who was murdered, his nephew, Robert Gonzalez, he said of this investigation, and now the guy's in jail, and the family's so glad that he's in jail and that he was caught. But this is what he said. The nephew said, we come from a really religious family, and our faith kept us believing justice would be brought. Now, justice would be brought. And when you read the story, you get the idea that he's talking about the criminal justice system and that this guy now is in jail awaiting trial. So if anybody out there knows the problem with his statement, what's the problem with that statement? Because it certainly reinforces a terrible error, some real bad thinking that's popular among Christians. Robert Gonzalez says that we come from a religious family and our faith kept us believing that justice would be brought. What's the problem with that? If anybody has an idea, call us at 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. You know, that story, just because one of the names in that story, it reminds me of the most embarrassing moment as a pastor. I've been a talk show host for 10 years and a pastor just for a few years. And my first funeral, you become a pastor and you don't really think about all the people that die. It's pretty rough. All the people that die and the marriages and the counseling, and there's just enormous demands on your time as a pastor. Well, the very first funeral, now picture, you've never done a funeral in your life, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, because you usually don't get a lot of notice for a funeral. So out of the blue, I'm standing in a cemetery at the gravesite with the coffin just above this recently dug out grave, and the family all around looking at me, and the man who died, I know his daughter, she goes to our church, and she's a really neat Christian woman. And she told me the story of his life and her family was from Spain, and their name was Martinez. But because when they grew up in Denver Public Schools, they were not Mexican. And so the Mexicans really dislike them, and they get harassed by the Mexicans, but they weren't American, and so they'd get harassed by the Americans. And they were like in the middle, no man's zone. And so their name was Martinez, and they got a lot of grief for that over the years. So she told me that story. And so she said, so our family prefers not to pronounce it Martinez, which is Mexican, but Martinez, because that's more indicative that we're from Spain, Martinez. So that's a bit of an unusual pronunciation, normally Martinez. So I'm driving to the funeral with my wife, Cheryl, and I'm saying Martinez, 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 Jack Martinez, Jack Martinez, Martinez, because I want to pronounce it right. So I'm standing at the cemetery over the casket, looking at all these family members. And the first thing out of my mouth is, we are here to remember Jack Gonzalez. I said, Jack Gonzalez. I almost, the second it finished coming out of my mouth, I knew what I had done. And I was just horrified. I can't tell you if the family was horrified, because my horror far exceeded whatever pain or anguish they experienced. I was absolutely horrified that I called this guy Jack Gonzalez. Now that was, by the way, I think I'm almost certain that was back when Ilian Gonzalez was in the headlines daily. And so that maybe is where, how I got the switch. But, oh, what a mess. At that moment, I would have switched places with Jack Martinez if I could have. But I'm so thankful that the daughter who attends our church is such a wonderful woman, and how kind they were to me. And I was there to be encouraging them, and they encouraged me. All right, so what's wrong with this guy's statement that we come from a really religious family and our faith kept us believing that justice would be brought? What's wrong with that? Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I have two related stories here. One, the Oscars from last night. And two, a 24-year-old woman is missing. She was in the Vail Ski Resort, and she called her boyfriend on a cell phone saying that she was being followed on the highway by her ex-roommate on Interstate 70, and she told her boyfriend that the ex-roommate was trying to run her off the road. So the boyfriend called police, and so far the woman is still missing, and so is her ex-roommate. So now that's a bizarre story, huh? And that, as I said, two related stories, the missing 24-year-old woman and the Oscars last night. The Oscars. Now, the Oscars, that's when they have all these special awards they give out for, let's see, what are the titles of these awards? Let's see. Best Supporting Tramp. Best Tramp. Best Strumpet. Best, oh, I can't even say that one on the radio. You see, Hollywood, if... in this country, if a company or an industry said to a woman, let's say it's the insurance industry, and they had women that would apply to work for them, and the insurance industry had some really huge accounts that they could make tens of millions of dollars off of a single account, like let's say getting the health insurance for IBM. And so women apply, they want a job there, and the health insurance company says, well, if we hire you, are you willing to disrobe to help us sell more insurance? And she'd say, huh? Yeah, are you willing to disrobe to help us sell more insurance? And, I mean, she would be in shock. Why is it Hollywood, why is it the entertainment industry is the one industry that has a carte blanche from the EEOC and OSHA in these groups? Why is it that they can require women to agree to be used as sexual props in order to be paid to comply with their contract? Why is that? How about porn videos? Why doesn't OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, why don't they have the same rules for the porn industry as they do for hospitals? If a hospital set up their operating rooms so that a nurse on duty was injected with bodily fluids from somebody else in the room, I mean, OSHA'd be all over that hospital, and they'd close them down because of how unsafe it is. Why is it that women in the porn industry are not worth the same as women in the medical industry? Why is that? And in Hollywood, for the most part, you got to be a tramp. If you're a woman, you got to be a tramp to be successful in Hollywood. It's like FM radio. FM radio, the drive time shows, the morning shows. They got two guys and a tramp. Two guys and a tramp. And the tramps who work in FM radio, they're teaching millions of men around the country, and especially young men growing up, they're teaching them the right way to treat women in the workplace. Treat them like sex objects. And not only the long-haired, maggot-infested FM-type shows, but also the sports shows on AM radio, like some sports zoo somewhere out there. You got two jocks and a woman, and the woman, she's agreed, in order to get paid, she's agreed that they could talk about her body. They could talk about her sexual behavior. They could do with her what is called sexual harassment in the workplace, everywhere else. And if it was found out at, let's say Intel, if it was found out at Intel that for a woman to get a good job at Intel, she had to agree, implicitly, she had to agree to allow the men to sexually harass her, otherwise she wouldn't be hired, she wouldn't get the job, she wouldn't keep the job. And so that's what the EEOC and OSHA, that's the double standard. See, they don't really care about women in Hollywood. And so what's the relationship between the missing 24-year-old and the best supporting slut out of Hollywood who won an Oscar last night? Well, the relationship is that our culture is teaching women to disrespect themselves, to have no honor, no virtue, no dignity. So this woman is a roommate with a guy. Now, our culture doesn't even know enough to realize there's something wrong with that. That's despicable. And if this woman had grown up with better morals, then in this particular case, she wouldn't be missing right now. And multiply her case by 100,000 times over in the past 30 years. And all the women that have become victims because they were increased risk because of their sexual immorality. And we could thank Hollywood for a big chunk of that. So, hey, we got a call. By the way, our number 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. Now, we're going to have to say goodbye to Denver because Denver airs the first half of this show. But next week, we're going to take calls live from Denver the whole week, Monday through Friday. Normally, the show airs 7 to 8 live in the cities we're on around the country, except Denver, it's tape delayed an hour. So next week, the whole week, we'll be in the studio when the program is airing in Denver and taking your calls. But for tonight, Denver, good night. All right, you guys listening to the show heard me earlier mention I got an instant message from Ben who read the plot. He read the plot, which is my manuscript, a few hundred pages. It gives an overview of the entire Bible. And we are so thrilled about that manuscript because it's one of the keys that's kept this ministry going. Because most Christians, you know, they study the Bible, they become a Christian, they read the Bible, they hear the Bible quoted in church, tune in Christian radio, hear little snippets of the Bible. And after a while, you know a bunch of phrases out of the Bible, and you might know any number of verses, but for the most part, they're all disconnected. It would be like trying to learn physics. Now, that's a difficult topic, right? Physics. You got a 300-page physics textbook, and you never really go through from beginning to end. You just go back and forth and take sentences out of different chapters. And you do that for 20 years. And you think, boy, why don't I understand this book after 20 years? And the reason is you never got an overview from beginning to end. What is the plot of the Bible? Or what is the plot of the book of Acts? What is the plot? Now, people, you know, we all went to public school, so we don't even know what the word plot means. I've been asking that question to Christians for 10 years. What is the plot of the Bible? And they say that God loves man. Well, that's the theme of the Bible. That's not the plot. The plot is the storyline. And you could give a high-level plot just in a couple sentences. We do that on page one of the plot. We give a very high level, here's the plot, the storyline of the Bible. And then we develop that through the first part of the plot. The manuscript, the plot, is in three parts. And part one develops the small paragraph that's an overview of the plot of the Bible on page one of the manuscript. We then develop that over the next 100 pages. We say, this is the plot of the Bible. This is what the story of the Bible is all about. And once you know the story of the Bible, wow, then hundreds of confusing issues that you may have swimming around in your mind. What do all these verses mean? They seem so contradictory. What do they mean? Then they start to make sense, and that's parts two and three. So call us in order to the plot, 1-888-8-NYART. All right. Got an instant message here. Volume kicked up to about 15 decibels. Very good. And I'm getting over instant messages answer to my question. He's probably a Christian guy. This Robert Gonzalez, who's the nephew of the man who was murdered by the guy sitting in jail in Indiana, in Gibson County Jail. And the nephew says, we come from a religious family, and our faith kept us believing justice would be brought. So what's wrong with that? Now, people have answered this over instant message. By the way, while we do the show, we're logged on to kgovlive@aol.com. All right, kgovlive@aol.com. And so people instant message us, and we get them popping up over the screen, and sometimes I shut the volume off because there are too many. Every time they pop up, you can hear them. And so sometimes we shut the volume, and it's like popcorn on the screen. And we look at it, quite a few of them, especially during the commercial breaks. So I've got answers to that over the web. But we're trying to see if anybody knows over the phone. It's 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I got an email here about Romania. And in our church, Denver Bible Church, we have one of our teenagers is going to Romania in a couple months for a missionary trip. And this email is a story, according to the Washington Post, that Romania has refused. They have laws against homosexuality in Romania. And the European Union is trying to force them, strong-arm them, into repealing their anti-homosexual laws. They don't want to do it. So now, the interesting thing is that Bush named a homosexual as ambassador to Romania. And he was confirmed, no problem in the Senate. And he went to Romania with his homosexual partner and Colin Powell, when he introduced this new, Colin Powell's the Secretary of State, when he's introducing the new ambassador to Romania. He also acknowledges his homo partner by name. You know what's interesting about that? Bill Clinton tried to get a homosexual confirmed as ambassador to Luxembourg back in 1997. Now, you know the Hormel lunch meat fortune, that family? Well, there's a homosexual who's inherited at least a lot of that. I don't know what percentage of it. Jim Hormel. And Clinton had nominated him to be our ambassador to Luxembourg. And the Senate blocked his nomination for almost 2 years. Why? Because Bill Clinton had nominated a homosexual as ambassador to Luxembourg. Now, what percentage of public school students could not find Luxembourg on a map if it meant their lives? All right? So, and hopefully a higher percentage could find Romania on a map. Now, what percentage of public school teachers could find Romania on a map? That's a really horrifying statistic. But at any rate, why is it that for 2 years, Clinton could not get a homosexual ambassador confirmed to Luxembourg when George W. Bush nominates a homosexual and he just sails through with the greatest of ease and he's confirmed? Why is that? Does anybody know the answer to that question? All right, I'm going to go to the phones and we'll see. So we have two standing questions now. Apparently the Christian guy who says, our faith told us that justice would be done. And this question, how is it that Clinton nominates a homosexual ambassador to Europe and he cannot get him confirmed for 2 years? And Bush nominates a homosexual ambassador to Romania. For the public school teachers out there, Romania is also in Europe. And that homosexual sails right through. Why? Let's go to the phones. And to Indiana, Kirk, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. I think I got an answer for your first question.
All right.
Justice in this life doesn't depend on God. It depends on men executing and implementing godly laws.
Wow.
That would be my response.
All right. That's pretty good. And did God in the Bible promise us we'd have justice in this life?
No.
No, he didn't. So if you have faith in something that God never promised, and if by your statements you teach other people to have faith in things that God did not promise, you're really going to undermine people's faith.
Well, definitely. Yeah. It's like having faith you're going to win the Powerball lottery. I mean,
right, yeah. Right, exactly. And if somebody does win the lottery, well, we knew, we prayed to God and we knew we would win it. And so other people who don't win it think, well, God obviously loves them more than he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true not only in matters like justice or gambling, but 10,000 human experiences when Christians, you know, loose lips sink ships in time of war, and loose lips really, really undermine faith among Christians because we say things that we just don't know what we're talking about.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of suffering that Christians have gone through in the Bible and through in a lot of countries, and it's unavoidable.
Yeah, that's a very good point. If you look in the Bible, you know, the greatest men of faith often were killed. Or they went to trial and they lost. They didn't always win. And so Christians who think, well, we're going to court, but we'll win because we're praying. Well, didn't Paul pray? Didn't Jesus pray? Didn't the apostles and the prophets pray? They prayed and they all lost for the most part.
And you know, that's why some of these faith healers, or you know, name it, claim it preachers, I call them, you know, I think are so dangerous because, you know, you get the impression that God will give you anything you want. And
well, Kirk, let me ask you the second question since you called in. So you're stuck. Why do you think it is? Do you remember when Bill Clinton had nominated James Hormel,
mm-hmm.
the homosexual, to Luxembourg? And you might remember that he was not confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, when Congress was not in session, Clinton then just pushed it through like he had the power to do. He didn't need a confirmation at that point because they weren't in session. But George W. Bush nominates a homosexual, openly homosexual ambassador to Romania, and he just sails right through. What do you think about that?
Well, because when the Republican, a Republican president and the Democratic Party are all in favor of passing, you know, allowing homosexual ambassadors, there's no opposition. I mean, who's going to stop it? At least when the Democrats are doing it, the Republicans will band together and oppose them just because they're in the opposing party.
Right. You nailed it again. Hey, Kirk, you're pretty good. That's why we had the largest tax increases in history under Reagan and George Bush Sr. Now, I love Ronald Reagan. I love him, and he's a really neat guy. And he helped destroy the Soviet Union. He's probably the most significant cause in the fall of the Soviet Union. But for the most part, during Reagan's years, during the Reagan-Bush years of the 90s, let's see, the 80s? I got to go back a ways, don't I? During the 80s, the homosexual movement was almost an unheard of, a tiny fringe extreme group in 1980. And by the time 12 years of Reagan and Bush were over, the homosexual community was a leading force in America, a leading force. And it was Bush and Quayle who were the first in history president, vice president team to invite the homosexual community, homosexual leaders to the White House and to assure them that they could be part of a Bush-Quayle administration.
Why is it the Republicans are always the groundbreaker in all of this?
Yeah, right.
And the Christians support them. You know, you'd think that, you know, voting for Bush was a vote for the Lord, but and they do more damage than the Democrats do.
Well, I think what happens that when Bill Clinton wants to raise taxes, then the Republicans have to fight him because otherwise, well, what else are they there for? But when Ronald Reagan, after his pledge and his serious cuts in the tax rates, after he cut the tax rates severely, then he came along and really socked it to us with a huge tax increase. And like you said earlier, when the Republicans are going to increase taxes, there's no opposition. George Bush Sr., when he made that campaign promise and then he raised taxes, and then it turns out he said, no, you thought I said no new taxes. I really said no nude Texans. And so I guess he honored his pledge there. But so since Reagan and Bush are going to increase huge, massive tax increases, probably the largest in the history of the world, never mind this country, there's no opposition. Because when the Republicans are in and they want to be, you know, they want to be moderate and so whatever
expand
they do.
Expand their base.
What's that?
Expand their base. That's what they want to do.
Yeah. So, hey, you got to be nice to the homosexuals. You can't be too extreme. You got to give $1 billion to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You got to sign. You got to sign campaign finance reform, even though it gives the left wing media a huge advantage.
The Bible is not only a book that shows us the one true God, it's also a book that tells the history of the Jewish people. A history filled with names and places that we can still find the evidence of today. Secular historians have doubted many things the Bible claims, including the existence of King David and the city of Nineveh. Archaeological digs in the Middle East prove over and over the skeptics were wrong and the Bible is correct. Bob recently took a group of people to Israel to see firsthand the evidence that the Bible is historically accurate. We produced a 2-hour video so you can join Bob and see for yourself that at least the history of the Jewish people has been recorded accurately. And if the history of the Bible is true, then the message of the one true God may be true. To see the evidence for yourself, give us a call and ask for Bob's Bible Tour of Israel, available for $19.95. What are young people in college learning today? In a philosophy class in Michigan, the teacher taught her students, you can only know that which your five senses tell you. Bob Enyard had a chance to speak to that class, and in one sentence, he annihilated that stupid view that you can only know that which your five senses tell you. Bob asked a simple question. Which one of your five senses told you that that statement is true? The students were dumbfounded. You can see their reaction and follow-up questions to that and many other topics when you order Get Out of the Matrix, a video we've made available for $24.95. Give us a call today at 1-888-8-NYART. If you have a question or comment, you can write us at P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado, 80001.
We are back, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we talked about the murder with the guy who's sitting in the Gibson County Jail in Indiana. And we talked about the United States prodding Israel to lift the travel ban so that terrorist leaders can attend the Arab summit. Now, why is it that our government is more partial to Palestinian terrorism than other terrorism? Why is that? Maybe somebody could help me understand that. Why is it that we're willing to tolerate and negotiate with Palestinian terrorists, but not Al-Qaeda terrorists? Are the Palestinian terrorists somehow a notch above the Al-Qaeda terrorists? Is that what it is? I'd like to understand that. Help me figure that out. All right. Now, we got a murder here. Charles Garrison in Colorado, who was just convicted this past week of brutally beating his wife to death, Sharon Garrison. And we have a headline, only the husband knows the grisly truth of exactly how the murder was committed. And I thought, now that's quite an allegation. Only the husband knows the grisly truth? For some reason, the editors are assuming that the jury came to the wrong conclusion, because it's pretty obvious he beat the living daylights out of her, literally. He put a 1-inch gouge into her skull. He crushed her voice box in her neck. He beat her with a blunt object. He wrapped her body up and buried it on his property. It's pretty obvious what happened. Seems like pretty much everybody knows the truth. But maybe they're talking about the particular details about how it all started. And they say, only the husband knows the grisly truth. Well, except for his wife. She knows. And God knows. See, these editors, they come from this atheistic perspective. This evolutionary atheistic perspective that when you're dead, you're dead. No, there's a judgment day. And this guy, the jury convicted him of not first-degree murder, but second-degree murder. And so instead of getting at least life in prison, he has to do at least, 10 years? He might do more, but he has to do at least 10 years, which really means 5 years. So, but it was such a grisly murder, he'll probably do more than 5 years. And they said, well, it wasn't premeditated. It wasn't premeditated, so they wouldn't give him first-degree murder. Now, all these degrees of murder, if you murder someone, you should be executed. That's it. God commands that in the Bible. God never gives authority to judges to have mercy on criminals. He lays out the punishment system, and you should punish them in that way. Otherwise, you profane God. That's what he says in the Bible. You profane God. So here, the jury says, well, it wasn't premeditated. They have a tape. The wife secretly tape recorded her husband. And that day, the wife told her friend and gave her friend the tape the day she was murdered and said, my husband wants to kill me. And on the tape, she tapes their argument. Obviously, there was a pattern, so she decided to tape it. She tape recorded. And she told him that she was going to divorce him. And he said, no, there'll never be a divorce. There might be a trial, but there'll never be a divorce. Now, how's that? So that's a That's a direct death threat. That's a death threat. And then that night, he kills her. Just viciously beats her to death. And so the jury says, well, it's not premeditated. As though that mattered anyway. You beat a woman to death. You beat her to death. It's just despicable. And God says that we profane him when we keep people alive who should not live. God says that. And how many Christians, mostly because they've gotten bad teaching, Christians don't know that when they refuse to advocate the death penalty for a convicted murderer, that they're profaning God. They're insulting God. They're mocking God. They're making God common. That's what profane means, to make him common, as though his opinion is just one of many opinions, and his opinion is not even really worth considering. Because what percentage of Christians, when they come up with their ideas for criminal justice, they have opinions usually, what percentage of them really consult God and give God the courtesy of finding out, well, let's see, perjury, should perjury be against the law if you lie when you're on the witness stand in a trial? Should perjury be against the law? Should it be a crime? And should it be enforced if it is against the law? And what should the punishment be? You could have 1,000 Christian politicians, and they all have opinions on perjury. And in my entire career, and as a talk show host, and life as a Christian for over a quarter of a century, following the news, I've never heard one Christian leader advocate the kind of penalty for perjury that God advocates in the Bible. And I've asked Christians for 10 years, what? I've asked Sunday school teachers, Christians who are politically involved, Christians who claim to be experts on the law, Christians who know all about European common law and all this stuff. Now, why'd they want to know about that, I don't know. But anyway, Christians who know about Blackstone's commentary on law. I asked them, well, what does God in the Bible say should be the punishment for perjury? They don't know. They don't know. But they have all these passionate opinions on what the criminal justice system, how it should work. And perjury is one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Those four of the Ten Commandments are the foundation of a criminal justice system. So why is it that millions upon millions of Christians don't even give God the courtesy of finding out his opinion? What does he think about public policy regarding criminal justice or foreign policy or monetary policy? What is God's opinion on these things, on the form of government, on how to conduct a trial? What is God's opinion? Now, some Christians might think, well, for whatever reason, based on how they interpret the Bible, they might think that God's opinion is irrelevant. It doesn't matter because of whatever, because maybe the Constitution of the United States is inspired, and so maybe it supersedes God. Whatever God said, it superseded. I don't know. There's some Christians who think the Constitution is inspired. And of all the Christians that revere the Constitution and think it's the best framework on which to build a government, I ask, well, why is it that in Article 1, it counts black people as 3/5 of a person? It's not in Article 4. It's in Article 1. It's at the very beginning of the U.S. Constitution. It counts blacks as 3/5 of a person. And I have Christians who defend that. And they bring these historical arguments to try to defend that. And you can't defend it. It's irrefragable, the argument that it was wrong for the founders to codify that blacks are 3/5 of a person. I don't care their motives. I don't care that they were trying to balance appropriations paid out to the states and benefits with the number of people who can vote and the number of people in the House of Representatives. I don't give a rip. It was just wrong to do. And think of all the pain and suffering that our country has gone through because of slavery, because of the immoral form of slavery that we had in this country. And when you realize that our founding fathers codified that slavery in our founding document, the Constitution, you realize, boy, we Christians, we really will swallow almost anything, rather than go through the Bible, get an overview of the Bible, and understand God's principles by which we then make valid decisions and conclusions about social controversies and political and moral issues. What should the law be? What should our public policy be toward Arafat? Should George W. Bush be encouraging Israel to negotiate with a terrorist? Why do you negotiate with a terrorist? So that you encourage more terrorism? Of course, that's what you do. I thought we knew that. And now, we've even changed the policy just 2 months ago. We changed our longstanding policy of America, the federal government, that we will not negotiate with hostage takers. We changed that policy. Now we will. At least that's the new policy. That's an option. It's frustrating. So if you're interested in what this show has to offer, Bob and Yurt Live, what does it have to offer? It has to offer how Christians could be influence, salt, and light in the world based not just on popular cliches like don't judge and forgive everybody and all sins are equal, these cliches that are just absolutes, even though they contradict the Bible in countless ways, but from the position of an overview of the Bible, how do we understand the controversies of our day? How do we make a difference? How do we take stands that are most likely to bring people to the Lord? That's what this show is all about, Bob and Yurt Live. We can do this with your help. Without your help, we can't do it. And I want to thank the people who for years have stood behind us. And now we were on TV in 80 cities for years, 5 nights a week. We went off the air 3 years ago, and we've just recently relaunched on radio. We started on IRN, Information Radio Network, on satellite. And we've added one city, two cities, three cities, four. And now we've just added Odessa, Midland, Texas on Quad K, 101.3 FM. Powerful station. So we'd like to keep adding cities and affiliates and get this message out to more and more people. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor God's opinions that fill the Bible. But let's all learn them together and let's promote them. So if you'd like to be a part of that, we can use your help on a regular monthly basis. If you call me at 1-800-836-9278, I'll talk to the first two people after we get off the air. Talk to two people if you'd like to help us out with a monthly pledge. You know, I hate asking for money. On the TV show, we went for years not asking for money because I don't like to do it. And I'm not good at it. And after years, we hit 80 cities, and then we went off the air because we didn't have any money. So we don't want to go off the air this time. We want to keep fighting. So give us a call. This is Bob and Yurt reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.